And good morning, NASCAR fans. Welcome to a Father's Day edition of Green, White, Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. And once again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you have a great day and a great race day today as well, as we look forward to a Father's Day race at Nashville Super Speedway. The first time the Cup Series will travel to Nashville Super Speedway, and the Xfinity Series, Truck Series have had some great races there in the past. They race this weekend for the first time in 10 years at Nashville Super Speedway, but I can't wait to see how the Cup drivers and cars race later today on this track. But we got to talk about last week there as well. Kyle Larson winning the All-Star race at Texas for the Cup Series, his second All-Star race in 3 years, and he keeps the hot streak going. Kyle Larson's third win in a row, even if it was a non-points paying race. Just $1 million there for Kyle Larson in his pocket. And Larson going three wide there with about eight laps to go with Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott. Brad Keselowski was on his back bumper for the remaining seven laps there, but Larson was able to hold him off the whole time. And Brandon, like we said, that hot streak just keeps going for Kyle Larson. Three wins in a row, whether it's a point-paying race or not, or, you know, just for $1 million.
Yeah, I tell you what, starting it out, like you said, PJ, you know, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there today, man. I mean, what a great Father's Day. Not only do you get to celebrate, you know, being a dad or celebrate your dad, you also get a great NASCAR race at somewhere new we hadn't seen these cars run. But, yeah, man, we talked about it all year. I continue to say it. You continue to say it. Anybody watching the sport continue to say it. Kyle Larson is just on fire, man. And there again, you know, we talked about a lower horsepower package. Didn't quite know, you know, exactly how that was going to work out for him in that All-Star race. And then obviously 10-lap shootout for $1 million. We all know things get a little crazy right there. But the move he made on Elliott, it was just the right place, right time, man. I mean, he pushed him out there. He got him out there, and, you know, went to that high side, man, and, I mean, made it happen. And Elliott raced him hard there for, you know, a lap or two, trying to side draft. And what an exciting event, man. I mean, the All-Star race for NASCAR is probably one of my favorite All-Star events, right? I mean, you know, other than, like, you know, baseball and the NBA, you got, like, the skills, three-point competition, dunk contest, same thing in baseball, home run derby. But in NASCAR, it's just that one race, man. You know, the open there to qualify to get in and then turn around and line them back up and basically 100 laps through six different segments, and for it to come down to 10 at the end, man, I tell you what, that was just an exciting, exciting race. And it's going to be interesting to see if NASCAR keeps that All-Star race there at Texas, or if they continue the trend of, you know, bouncing it somewhere different. You know, this is, you know, from Charlotte to you know, Bristol, with everything that happened in the pandemic last year, and from Bristol to Texas. So who's not to say we might go somewhere different next year, man. But yeah, what an exciting event and a great race. And you know, as they're calling him, you know, Kyle Young Money Larson, man, I tell you what, yeah, he just added a few zeros to that bank account, man.
Yeah, it just keeps on going. An exciting race through and through. NASCAR doing a good job there with the All-Star race, the format. You have the stages and the swapping back and forth with the random amount of drivers that are going to be, you know, inverted with their starting position with the next stage and things like that. Certainly kept it fun, but Kyle Larson kind of untouchable right now, and really Hendrick as a whole, but Kyle Larson specifically with three straight wins and just absolutely dominating. You have comments like this, right? I mean, Kyle Busch, I believe, said something during the All-Star race, even with this drafting quote-unquote package that they were using, you can draft to just about anybody except for the Hendrick cars. They just drive away from you, don't really get sucked back to you. And Brad Keselowski, quote, "It feels like just to run second to Hendrick cars right now is kind of an accomplishment," end quote. I mean, these are guys that are paid to go out there and win every single race. They want to go out there and win, and whenever they can. Of course, top fives, top tens, they enjoy. But you want to go out there and win. And he's saying that, hey, just running second, just running the top five around Hendrick cars right now is an accomplishment. That's wild to hear from a NASCAR driver, but it tells you just how good these Hendrick cars are, specifically Kyle Larson. And it seemed like anytime he was out front there in the All-Star race, he was going to pull away and be hard to pass, hard to touch without a doubt. We'll see how long that continues as he wins his third straight race there. But you mentioned it, the lower horsepower package that was used there at the All-Star Race at Texas, more drafting and pack racing, things like that. How effective do you feel like that was? How much did you enjoy it there? How exciting was it for you there at Texas during the All-Star Race?
Yeah, you know, PJ, I mean, the lower horsepower package, I mean, with these cars, especially with the downforce package they run on top of being the low horsepower, the one thing I was really concerned about was, you know, a block or, you know, how these guys were going to race. And it kind of rewinded the clock 2 or 3 years to where the side draft came into big time play. I mean, we do this week in and week out. They do it everywhere they go. But it really seemed like that affected them a lot more here at Texas with that side draft and what they were doing than what we've seen at other races throughout the season. So I thought it was very good. I thought it was entertaining for us as fans, obviously. You know, a lot of passing, a lot of swapping back and forth. It makes it a little different to watch when you go, okay, you know, we're racing for $1 million, 10 laps, you know, at the very end compared to a full 400 or 500 mile race with that, you know, horsepower package, for the simple fact of I don't think that had we had, you know, say there was a 60 or 70 lap run, green flag, I think it would have been spread out. And I definitely think that it makes it a little bit more work on the drivers, you know, to get that little bit. And a prime example of that is that it was either last year before, I think it was Harvick and Logano, one of them. And it was clear Harvick was so much faster, but every time he'd get that run and get to the back of Joey Logano and go around him, he just couldn't. So it's got to be a fine balance, and it's going to be real interesting to see what this next gen car does and what they're doing with it, to see how it races. I'm really excited about that. But I hopefully there's a little more maneuverability in the car. There's a little bit more passability in the car. These guys are able just to go out, and when you have a run, complete that run and get that pass, not kind of get beside the guy and stall out. So it was, like I said, a good package. I think, you know, it was the second time I think they ran it back at Charlotte in the All-Star race last year or 2 years ago or whatever it may be. Yeah. But I tell you what, that package is pretty decent, man. It put on a really good show, especially at Texas, where it seems like you're on edge, you know, at the edge of that car getting ready to spin out on you every single lap. I mean, we saw how many spin outs during that race from guys just losing control and even in the Xfinity race the day before. So, you know, for a place like Texas, you know, that's already, like I said, you're sitting on edge. It's already pretty tough to drive. You know, to have that lower downforce package and put on the show that those guys did, I tell you what, the horsepower package worked out pretty good in my book, man.
Yeah, I hear you, and it was exciting, was fun to watch for sure. Love your point there with the side drafting and with how guys were able to maneuver or, you know, not maneuver around each other and having to be very careful, but still trying to go out and get it done. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, and like you said, I think that package is perfect situationally for what you have, as you mentioned. You know, those short runs, trying to make guys work in everything they do and trying to work for every inch of you know, real estate they have out there on the track. And you don't have a lot of time to get to the front, don't have a lot of time to do what you need to, but you still need to go out there and get it done. In the All-Star race, I think that was very good. Like you said, track where you're always on edge and always feel like the back end's about to come out underneath you. I think time and place, that's a really solid package for the All-Star race. What I want to see it, you know, spread out over, you know, 400 or 500 laps or miles. Not 100% sure. I don't know. There's something about the lower horsepower that, you know, just kind of feels like forced racing to me.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know. I don't love that. Don't want to see it every single week. But at the end of the day, I think it was fun and was exciting for the All-Star race itself. And yeah, like you said, have got the unveil for the next gen car, have seen it out there on the track here and there. Can't wait to see how they maneuver out there with each other, what it looks like to have a pack of cars out there together in that next gen car, and how they're able to maneuver around each other. I'm very excited for that here in 2022, just to see how everything works out with that. But We'll come back, keep talking about NASCAR here on this Father's Day edition of Green White Checkered, and of course, get you ready for the NASCAR Cup Series first trip to the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll come back, talk about all that here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you on this Father's Day edition. And also be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 at Coach's Corner with our guy Brandon Bain. Catch you up on all the latest NASCAR news and get you ready for every NASCAR weekend there at Coach's Corner. If you can't make it, be sure to check it out on the Coach's Corner Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah Facebook live feed. That's every Wednesday at 6 o'clock with Brandon Bain for Rubbin' and Grubbin' It. And Brandon, of course, happy Father's Day to you once again. And any Father's Day, I feel like in NASCAR, it is a great Father's Day. Seems like we always have an exciting race to look forward to on Father's Day. And this week, this year, we're looking forward to an inaugural race at Nashville Super Speedway. But love how family-oriented NASCAR can be when you talk about camping inside, outside the track, RVs, tents, hotels, anything like that. It's a very family-oriented sport, and I mean, let's be honest, it's a father and child sport through and through. In our case, father and son sport through and through. You talk about NASCAR fans, 9 times out of 10 they're NASCAR fans because their dad was, and their dad brought them to races and things like that. I know that's my experience. Almost everybody that's a NASCAR fan has their stories that they cherish as well with their fathers at the racetrack. And I know there will be plenty out there at the track and making those memories today, but I feel like the perfect sport for Father's Day is NASCAR.
Yeah, PJ, I tell you what, you know, my dad's the one that got me involved in the sport and got my eyes on it at an early age. You know, the oldest memories I have of very, very similar to you, I'm sure, of, you know, being a kid and running in and out with your friends or doing whatever. And, you know, you come down on Sunday to go run outside, and then you come back in the afternoon and there's your dad watching NASCAR, you know. So it means a lot to me. And I mean, so many of my good memories with my dad were made and had at, you know, NASCAR races or events. And I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, you know, we all, you know, going out to the ball game, you know, baseball and football and hockey. I mean, it's the same thing. But when you talk about, you know, a family-oriented sport, NASCAR to me is huge. I mean, you have a family that is, you know, owned NASCAR itself as an organization, as a corporation forever. You know, how many father-son duos have we seen through the years, from drivers, you know, from the Allisons to Earnhardts to the Petties? I mean, the list just goes on and on. So, yeah, man, I mean, you know, what a better day and a better way to celebrate Father's Day than when we get to go here to Nashville, brand new track, Ally 400 coming on, concrete, you know, almost 1.5 miles, a little bit flatter. Man, this is going to be an exciting, exciting day. And definitely, if your dad's close and you guys are NASCAR fans, man, you got to go over and hang out with dad today. Watch that race, man. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Fantastic way to spend Father's Day, especially if you're a NASCAR fan and your dad is. Be sure to go and hug their neck today. Appreciate them and go watch the race with them today. And yeah, like you said, that's how I got into the sport. I didn't have much of a chance. I've heard stories and tell the story all the time. It seemed like I was already hovering around my dad when it would come to Sundays, and he'd be taking care of us, that there being off work on the weekend. But I'd be right there with him every Sunday or Saturday, from only a few months, weeks old, apparently having a big interest there in the NASCARs on the track when he was watching every single weekend. And that graduated to me getting a pad of paper and some crayons and trying to draw every paint scheme I saw. That, of course, graduates to racing the cars on the ground while they're racing the cars at the track, and then going outside once you're able to get one of those toy cars that you can drive around the yard while they're in there racing. So, I mean, it just kept going up from there, and have some fantastic memories at the track with my dad, and of course my grandfather there as well, who was huge with my dad watching racing, big Mark Martin fan. And we have some great memories there at Dover, great memories there at Pocono, Darlington, Bristol as well, with being there with Tony Stewart through the helmet. So, man, some great memories. And Dad, if you're listening, love you. Happy Father's Day. And I can't wait to get to another racetrack with you. And we'll see you out there later today as well for Nashville. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And hopefully they're making even more memories there at Nashville Super Speedway today. But Brandon, some news and notes from around NASCAR during the week as well. A few big things. Kolig announcing their full-time schedule next year with Justin Haley, a part-time schedule with AJ Allmendinger. Alex Bowman, after his couple wins this year, not surprising, signing the extension with Hendrick Motorsports, putting the pen to paper there as well. So I think everyone was hoping and figured that would happen sooner rather than later, and Alex Bowman, Hendrick, make it official there this week.
Yeah, I mean, that, there again, we've said it over the last few weeks, PJ. I mean, that just kind of sets the future for Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, the youngest camp, I would say, in the whole sport, and these guys go out, and the way they're running this year, if they can keep that up for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, man, I tell you what, it's going to be hard to beat these guys. But, yeah, you know, I think that's awesome for Justin Haley, man, and especially for AJ Allmendinger. You know, I mean, a lot of folks, either if they're newer to the sport or they just don't keep up with it, you know, he was slated to drive that 22 car for Roger Penske before Joey Logano went there, and had a little bit of trouble. Obviously, a workout supplement that he was taking was obviously gave him a positive test, and you know, of course, NASCAR is like any other sport. You know, PEDs are a big no-no, and you know, kind of got suspended and had to go through the whole deal to get reinstated back into the sport. So, for a guy that's paid his dues and a very talented race car driver, you know, to at least come back and be able to have his shot there again at road courses, I'm sure, and different things, I think it's awesome. And for a guy like Bowman, I mean, you know, I'm sure, like you said, you know, the writing was on the wall, it was going to happen. It just hadn't hit the paper yet. But I'm sure for, you know, basically halfway through our NASCAR season, for him to go ahead and get that done, now he can just focus on going out even more and getting more wins for him and advancing his career as we go on, man. But yeah, another thing, man, I do want to give a big shout out to Kyle Busch, man, on that 100th Xfinity win yesterday. I mean, that's kind of a huge deal when you look at, you know, the domination and what Mark Martin did down there for so many years, and has 49 wins and was the winningest, and now he's second. Then you see a guy like Kyle Busch, you know, hit 100. So, you know, as we all know, not my cup of tea when it comes to a NASCAR driver, but there's no doubt or never a question of what kind of talent this guy has. So, man, I tell you what, you know, like I said, definitely wanted to let that be known and give him a big congratulations as well, man, because 100 wins in anything you do, whether they're combined or whether they're in one series or whatever, I tell you what, man, that's a difficult feat to do, and for him to hit 100 in Xfinity alone, it blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Even if you don't love Kyle Busch, which we certainly don't, but hey, even if you don't love him, you got to respect him, and certainly respect what he's been able to do there in the Xfinity series. 100 wins is certainly nothing to scoff at, and at the end of the day, I hope we just appreciate what he's been able to do and what he's able to do in any kind of race car, let alone in an Xfinity car, and appreciate the history and the greatness of what he's been able to do. I feel like a lot of people are kind of focusing on, will this be his last Xfinity race or season, and not focusing on what he just did and what he's been able to do over the years in Xfinity. So a great mark of history there for Kyle Busch with his 100th Xfinity win. But we'll come back, look forward to the Cup race at Nashville Super Speedway for later today, make our picks here on Green White Checkered on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Green White Checkered here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zucco, Brandon Bain here with you. Happy Father's Day as well. But be sure to check out Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 at Coach's Corner with our guy Brandon Bain. If you can't make it to Coach's Corner, be sure to tune in via the Coach's Corner Facebook live feed or ESPN Radio Savannah's Facebook live feed for Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 with Brandon Bain. Catch you up on all the NASCAR news going into the weekend. But Brandon, talking about the big weekend here at Nashville Super Speedway, the inaugural Cup Series race at Nashville Super Speedway. First time any NASCAR has been back in 10 years. And I know it can be hard to pick and whatnot when it's a new track, but hey, we still got to find our ways and figure out how to make our picks this week. What should we look out for today? Who should we be keeping our eye on in the Ally 400?
Yeah, PJ, I mean, like you said, man, going to what I like to refer to as a wild card, you know, we only get a few usually between the road courses and super speedways, you know, Daytona and Talladega where you're like, man, anybody can go and win this, you know? I mean, it's that style of racing. And today it's an unknown. Nobody's put these cars on this track, so we don't have any idea other than the practice we got to saw or see. And we also got some qualifying here later on today as well, which I think is going to be, you know, pretty neat as well. I love the fact we're trying a little bit to kind of get back into at least a little practice in the qualifying aspect of the sport. You know, but at the end of the day, we all know who you got to take first, man. I mean, the guy's absolutely on fire. I mean, if you take anybody other than Kyle Larson, you know, then you're backing up. He's got to be at the top of the list. So for me, another guy I look at, man, we talked about him a little bit earlier there in that all-star race and, you know, showing some speed and doing some things that we hadn't seen over the last few months. But I look at Brad Keselowski, man. You know, there in the two car at Penske, it just seems like when it gets down to it and it's time to show up, he's showing up. And I think that they're kind of resurging for the second half of the season. And there again, he's got experience, as a few others do, racing cars at Nashville. Not that it maybe it does, maybe it doesn't pay dividends for you and help you, but he's got some experience. So he'd have to be two on my list. Three for me, as we always know, I can never hardly leave this guy off of the list ever. It's got to be Chase Elliott, man. I think the kid's phenomenal. It doesn't matter where we go. You know, the last concrete track we were on was Dover, a totally different race style than what we're going to see today at Nashville. But there again, we all know what happened at Dover with Hendrick Motorsports, man. So if you don't have him in there, you know, you're backing up as well. Four, I look at William Byron, man, another Hendrick car. I mean, three out of the four are in there just due to the simple fact of, you know, the kid's good. Hendrick's got the speed. They've got the horsepower, man. It seems like they have this package and the style of racing that they're doing right now figured out. So until I see somebody come up and play catch up and maybe go out and dominate, you know, a race like today or next week, go and dominate a race, anybody other than those Hendrick Chevrolets, it's going to be a very full Hendrick top five. So we'll put Byron in four. Five for me is a guy who's been quiet, consistently quiet, and he's still leading the regular season points, although he's not leading those playoff points, and he's still hunting for that first win of the season, and that's a guy in Denny Hamlin. There again, I think the guy's got a huge amount of talent. I think he's very capable of going and winning anywhere we go, every week, week in and week out. So we'll round out that list with him. And if we're looking for a dark horse, it's not too much of a dark horse. But, you know, you got to go out and you got to look at Alex Bowman. I mean, the kid absolutely killed, you know, Dover, came and got that win there late in that race, got by Kyle Larson, couldn't get back around him. And I tell you what, man, I expect him to put on a show here in the Music City again today, man. And do want to give a big shout out to Coach John and Adele Henderson over at Coaches, man. I actually went up to a show last night up there. The AC/DC tribute band Back in Black was there, man, and they definitely rocked the house. So if I sound a little hoarse this morning, that's why I was screaming and yelling last night. But I tell you what, man, as hard as those guys rocked out Coaches yesterday, man, I feel like when we hit the Music City today, it's going to be even a little bit more mayhem, man. So can't wait to see this race.
Oh, absolutely can't wait. Like you said, hey, man, some AC/DC jams and things like that, it's hard not to go all out when you have some classic AC/DC being played and whatnot. So don't blame you one bit. Like you said, they do a great job over there with the live performances at Coach's Corner. So be sure to check him out every single weekend there at Coach's Corner with different live performances every single weekend, and always do a great job there and have a great time there. Of course, you can have some great food there as well at Coach's Corner, of course. But no, I like the top five there, like the dark horse pick as well. Like you said, Denny Hamlin consistently still up there. I was checked the other day, was a little surprised to see he was still the regular season points leader, but yeah. At the end of the day, he is, like you said, being quietly consistent this year and looking for that and hunting for that first win. For me, like you said, be crazy not to go with Kyle Larson, and I'm going to go with him as well. Not a lot of experience there at Nashville Super Speedway, but hey, at the end of the day, they have practice, they have qualifying, and I'm confident in the equipment, I'm confident in the driver right now with his hot streak. It seems like anywhere they go right now, he's going to unload super fast, and if not, they're going to find it throughout the race. So give me Kyle Larson there, number one. For number two, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch, getting that 100th win there yesterday. He is one of two guys with 10 Xfinity starts at Nashville Super Speedway. Certainly got that victory that everyone remembers as well, with him smashing the guitar that was the trophy. that's certainly gotten a lot of play this week. But, hey, bringing that momentum in from yesterday's win, maybe he can take some of that experience to help him out today in the Cup car and use some of that momentum as well. Like you said, Brad Keselowski has looked fast and certainly very competitive there last week. He's the other guy with 10 starts on the Xfinity Series side of things at Nashville. He has two wins there as well. So giving me Brad Keselowski number three. Chase Elliott, good at concrete tracks, and he's in that Hendrick equipment and is a great driver. So you throw that all together, that's my number four for today. Number five, Martin Truex Jr., another guy, yes, with a lot of experience there at Nashville with five races under his belt, and another guy that's just a wheelman. It seems like anywhere he can go, he can be good. So give me Martin Truex there at fifth. Crazy to think of this guy as a dark horse, but hey, this year he is, with the kind of year he's having. Give me Kevin Harvick. He has an average finish at Nashville in the Xfinity Series of three. Third place finish there for an average finish. Four races, two wins. I know it's been a while since they've been on the track there at Nashville, but any little bit of experience can help when you're heading to a new racetrack. So give me Kevin Harvick as the dark horse. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. If your father loves NASCAR, go over, enjoy the race with him today. Cherish the time and the moments you have with them. Once again, from Brandon Bain and PJ Zucco on Green White Checkered, happy Father's Day. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day and weekend. Stay safe and God bless.